Session number 12232, Mr. Ivor Watkins, Reel 4.
Mr. Watkins, Reel 4. We're talking about your training with 59th Training Battalion of the South Wales Border. Is that Kenilworth Park?
Yeah.
Just going through a few general questions now about the camp. What about the Brigadier? He was the main officer. His name was...
I think if I remember rightly, it was Brigadier Blackadder.
And what was he like? I mean...
He was a short little chap. Very, very prim and smart. He lived in a bungalow some distance from Kimnel Park. But occasionally he'd arrive when we were on full parade. You know, the regimental sergeant major would be the top dog then. And he'd just make his appearance. And the way to go, I suppose it was a routine sort of thing rather than a real inspection.
Did you look up to him? I mean, did you respect him? He was quite a senior officer.
Well, he had his red tabs, and we were taught that an officer meant something. I don't know why it's difficult to explain, but right throughout your training, you respected seniority in rank. The company sergeant major with us was Sergeant Major Day.
What was he like?
While being strict, he had sort of a father figure about him. He loved his company, shall I say it that way? He loved it. It's my company, you see. And the sergeant major, I forget his name now, but he was the man that really mattered to us, the regimental sergeant major. The way he walked on parade with his measuring stick, you know, he meant something, and it was his battalion. I've always remembered that. Some of the sergeant majors, well, he used a phrase without being disgusting. Some were bastards, but they were good bastards, if I may put it that way.
Can you explain? I mean, how were they bastards? What was bad?
Well, some of them were strict to a degree, but their regiment was their regiment, and God help anybody who spoke out of tune about their battalion. The regimental sergeant major of the 15th Battalion was the regimental sergeant major, but by God, he looked after his battalion.
That's later on when you...
Later on, yes. And you'll find it. As I say, that's the best way I've heard it put.
I understand.
Our regimental sergeant major, he's a bastard, but he's a good one. Good bastard.
And it was the same with the senior NCOs at Kinwell.
Yes.
What about, you mentioned Sergeant Johns. Was he at Kinwell?
Yes, he was one of the old school with a clipped moustache. I remembered that we had inoculation at one time, and it was sore, but he had us out on parade. Had us out on parade, by God, our arms were sore, but he had us out on parade. Some of the fellows never forgave him for that, even to the time they left the camp. He was still an awful fella. But that's the sort of man, I suppose. He thought, well, I've got to get these fellows trained, inoculation or no inoculation.
Were they fair? the NCOs, or were they strict to the point of stupidity, you know?
Well, not, no, I never found that. I never found that. They were very, very strict, but not strict to absolute cussedness. Unless a fellow now was to the extreme cussed, trying to, you know, supersede then the sergeant in his work. But on the whole, they were very, very strict, but they played fair with you. But if you stepped out the line, cussedness, well, he'd have you at some time or another. You'd be put on fatigue at some time or another, or he'd find some way to teach you a lesson.
So they weren't bullies at all?
Well, it all depends what you call bullies, because you never know who you meet in the army, Mr. Hurst, you see. You never know who you meet in the army. You don't know, see. All of a sudden, you get it. So you've got to be fair, you've got to be strict, but sometimes if you overstep the mark, you get a nasty jolt from some way or another. You don't know where it's come from. But on the whole, Sergeant Johns was absolutely strict, but I never knew him to be, shall we say, dirty then. Shall I say that way, you see? Never dirty. But if he wanted to teach you a lesson, he taught you a lesson. But never out of sheer, I am the...
Did you ever get into trouble yourself for anything?
No, not in England. No.
So as long as you're trying your best, you can keep yourself out of trouble.
Yes. But if you've tried to pull a fast one at some time or another, he'd pull a fast one on you without being dirty, but it'd be put on some fatigue or other, you see. Peeled potatoes or something like that.
Well, now, you meant just picking up bits at the end as well. You mentioned you were called Taffy. That seems strange,
yes,
in a Welsh regiment. Wouldn't everybody be, you know?
Well, I don't know. I was called Taffy in hospital.
I see.
Taffy in hospital.
But not in the regiment.
Not in the regiment.
Welsh regiment.
Welsh regiment.
Did you have nicknames for each other, or...?
Well, I don't know. They came out somehow or another, Tricky or Shooter or something like that. I don't know why they came out naturally. If a fellow was Mr. White, he was called Chalky. You see, that sort of thing came out naturally. And it was accepted then, you see.
Now, how long were you at Kinwell?
I was there until... we went out to France in the summer in May.
Of 1917?
1917.
So you'd had about 6 months basic
training? Yes, just about 6 months basic training.
But you hadn't done any of the more complicated things?
No, no bombing, no anything like that.
How did you feel? Had you got fitter? Had it made you fitter, stronger?
Oh, yes, I was sure of myself. I was sure of myself, I was sure of my own importance. I'd met a lot of fellows they hadn't met before, you see. It brought me out. In other words, without being cocky, it made a man of me. I was standing on my own 2 feet now. I had to stand on my own 2 feet.
Did you have any ambitions to become an NCO? Or to, you know...
No.
You were just happy to be a private?
No. I was happy to be a private. I had no ambition to be an NCO. No.
It's a difficult question, really, but by now you must have realised what the Western Front was like.
Well, we were given lectures about it. The one officer gave us a lecture about it. He said, of course, the ultimate aim, he said, is to kill your enemy.
Did you ever think you'd rather be posted somewhere else? I mean, did you hope for a posting to Egypt or Palestine or anywhere but...
It didn't come into my mind, Mr. Hurst. It didn't come into my mind. It's like the old saying, Well, I didn't. I was not the reason why. I was but to do and die sort of thing. There was no reasoning where we had to go.
You didn't worry about the possibility of being killed?
No. It didn't come into our mind. It didn't come into my mind.
Why not, though? I mean, were you just confident?
I don't know. We hadn't experienced anything that would lead us to that at present. When we got over the other side of the channel, it was a different thing.
Now, how was it arranged for you to leave? I mean, because it was a training battalion. Would you all leave at once?
A group of us went. I suppose the group that was the eldest, I suppose, were sent on draft. I may have been, the group that I was in may have been a couple of weeks older than the other group, you see.
And when did you hear of where did you hope by then to be posted to a 24th, the South West border?
We didn't know where we were going to be posted or to which unit we'd be posted until we got out to the Bullring in Rouen.
So what happened to your draft then on the way out? Do you remember the journey?
Well, I know we were where we sailed from. I don't know. I have an idea. We sailed from New Haven to Dieppe. I have that at the back of my mind. Why, I don't know. But I know that our destination was the Bullring at Rouen. Now, we called it the Bullring, but it was the big camp where you were congregated to have your training in actual warfare then.
Do you remember the crossing at all?
No, I don't remember the crossing at all. I remember it when I went to the Olympic Games in 1924. I remember the crossing from New Haven to Dieppe then, because quite a few of us were puking over the side of the boat.
But no memories of the early.
No, I remember getting into Rouen and to the Bullring there. We were under canvas. And it was there where we had our trench warfare training, the use of the Mills bomb.
Well, let's have a look at that bit by bit then.
See?
How did they train you in the Mills bomb?
Well, we were taught that the Mills bomb was filled with ammonal, and you had so many counts to pull the pin out and let it go. You see, we're told that. High explosive ammonal, if I remember rightly, was the explosive inside, and there was a detonator that started to work as soon as you pulled the pin out and threw it. I think you counted three or four before the damn thing burst. I'll tell you a tale about that later on when we get into the France. But one person I recognized when I was out there as a PT instructor was Bombardier Billy Wells. I remember recognizing Bombardier Billy Wells, the boxer who was a PT instructor there.
At the Rouen Bullring.
At the Bullring in Rouen.
I'll come back to him. Just with which action did you use to throw it? Because they're quite heavy, aren't they? They're not.
Yes. Well, you'd have a hand out there, you see. And
your left arm up. Like a bowling action for cricket.
Like a bowling action. Well, you didn't bend your arm. It kept in a straight arc there, you see.
You were taught to keep your arm straight?
Straight. Because the trenches, you had what they called a traverse, you see. Trenches were in the training area were that way, that way, that way. The trenches were broken then, not in one straight line in the training. They were broken by what they called a traverse. Well, your idea was to throw that bomb so that it would get into the next trench, you see, that way.
And about how far could you throw it, do you reckon?
Well,
roughly.
I used to throw stones when I was a boy, so I could throw a good distance, see? But to judge the actual distance, what you wanted to get was to get it over into the next traverse, you see, the next aim.
Which would be where?
Yes.
Now, we'll go back to Billy Wells. What did you actually... Did you know him, or did you just know
his recognised him, a tall, blonde chap, a picture of a man, Billy Wells, like an Adonis then. But you know what George Carpentier did to him later on? He knocked him out. Yeah, Bomber dear Billy Weld. And but he was a...
Was he actually your PE instructor? Was
well, PT, we came under him. He was a sort of an overseer sort of thing, you see. There were quite a lot of prominent men in athletics who were PT instructors, you see.
And what was he like as a man? Did you get close enough to judge?
No, not close enough to him, but we'd read so much in the paper about him being a heavyweight boxer that, you know, he was something, but he was a fine-looking fellow. He used to be shown on the cinema screen at one time advertising some particular film company, Bombardier Billy Weld, but he was a fine-looking fellow. Fair-haired, but he was one of the PT instructors there.
So, you'd have PT then, obviously, but what about gas? Were you did they train you in the use of your mask while you were
well,
there?
Well, we had what they call a PH helmet at one time for phosgene gas. It was like a piece of grey flannelette with two eyes in it and a mouthpiece. That was before the box respirator came into being. And that was carried in a little bag at your side where the box respirator was carried here, you see.
And what was the PH helmet like to wear?
Oh, stinking. It was, shall we say, moist in a way. They're like pulling a piece of flannelette over you and tucking it inside your coat. In there, you see.
You say it was moist, but what...
Well, it's some sort of chemical. Well, I won't say moist, but it had that feeling of not being absolutely dry. It was impregnated with something or other, Mr. Hurst. Whatever it was, I don't know.
Did it smell?
Yes, it smelled a bit, but there were two goggles, and it was a little thing you put in your mouth, you see.
While you were at Rouen, did you get to go through a gas chamber to test?
Yes, we went through a gas chamber to test.
What was that like?
Well, it was going through, you went in one side and you had your gas mask on and you came out the other side. Well, if you weren't coughing or spluttering or anything like that, well, you know that you were immune from whatever happened to that inside, you see. We had about 2 weeks in Rouen altogether.
What about tactical stuff, you know, actual how to make an
well,
attack?
Well, that's the first time we saw actual trenches there, you see. It was, you had what you call the rifleman, if I remember rightly, the rifleman and the bomber, you see. The bomber would throw his bomb, where this is going through the drill, throw his bomb. Then the rifleman would go around the next traverse to see if there was any effect of the bomb, you see. Then that was the way, but it never worked in actual warfare. Never worked in actual
warfare. What about making an attack? How, you know, the sort of organisation of
well,
that?
Up, well, up. I don't remember that we had anything like that in an actual
what about
trench warfare.
What about artillery formation?
Well, we didn't have anything of that either.
Nothing. So tactically, it was just down to bombing along trenches?
Yes, going along the trenches and physical training, as you. But
did you have any experience of? Did they teach you how to dig a trench? You know, physically how to get down to making a trench, traverses.
No.
Any experience in how to live in it? You know, I mean, because that's what you were going to do, live in
no,
it.
No experience.
So that was going to be all down to
yes, practical. Just the drills. That's all we had. We were.
Did you get to see the Lewis that, while you were at Rouen?
The minister?
Lewis no. Gun.
Oh, no, although I had experience with one after.
But they didn't give you any machine gun training
at
that stage?
No, nothing at all.
Any other training you remember at Rouen?
No.
At Etampes?
Just the PT and just bombing and running around the trenches and that sort of thing.
At Etampes, you know. They had at their bullring. They had a famous obstacle course at Etampes. Did you have an obstacle course at Rouen?
Not that I remember.
What were the instructors like? Because again, at Etampes, they're supposed to be very strict.
Well, they were all old soldiers then.
What were they like?
Well, typical old soldiers. Brusque, then. down to earth, no bee nonsense. You're going up there, and then you learn about it, sort of thing.
Did they call them canaries there as well? Did they call them canaries there as well? That's what they called them at the other camp.
No, I don't think so. No.
What about the military police?
Oh, they were around, all right.
What were they like?
Oh, pretty astute, pretty strict, because you know what happened when you went down into Rouen with the prostitution and the drink and that sort of thing. That they were pretty careful and strict on that sort of thing. I don't remember getting down into Rouen at all, somehow. I don't know why. Because there were all sorts of entertainment down there in the town itself. But not that I'm a prude in any way, but I didn't find... I don't remember getting down into Rouen City at that particular time. I think we were there for about 2 weeks.
And then what happened then?
Well, we were drafted then.
Would the whole of your group, you know, that you'd been with, would they all be drafted to the same unit, or was that where
not
you were
all,
split up?
Not all. Be a few of us were together, you see. Few others. There were a couple, quite a few from Cardiff in the crowd that we went up into the cattle trucks. We didn't know where we were going. We didn't know where we were going to the 15th Welsh.
You wanted a Welsh regiment, though, didn't
you? Oh, I wanted a Welsh regiment. We practically knew that the 38th Division had come out of Mametz. We knew at the back of our minds that there was bound to be a build-up of the division before the next big do, because, you know, they came in bulk then, you see. We knew there was at the back of our minds that there was going to be another big do after the Somme business.
So you thought you'd get to the 38th Div then?
Oh yeah, we thought we'd get to the Welsh Regiment.
Why not the South Wales Borderers?
Well, I don't know. I cannot tell that at all.
Did you have any preference? I mean, you'd been in the South
no,
Wales.
No, something told me the Swansea Battalion was the 14th Welsh. The Cardiff City Battalion was the 16th Welsh. The Carmarthen were the 15th Welsh. So that sort of thing, you know. The 10th Battalion was the 1st Rounders Welsh. You see, the 13th was the Welsh Regiment, the 2nd Battalion, the Rounders. So the Welsh, likewise, was drumming over in your mind. Or shall you say, became implanted then. In your mind.
Now, what about this journey when you were drafted in the cattle trucks?
Cattle trucks.
What did you think of what were the cattle trucks like?
Well, bloody awful.
Why was that?
Well, they were like boxes on wheels with the little steps behind each where somebody could look out on top. But our painted was there, so many homes, so many chevaux. So many men, so many horses. So in these cattle trucks we were. And up the line, chug, 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 all the way.
What was the... I mean, sometimes those journeys took a long time. What
yes,
was like?
We were a couple of days getting up from Rouen.
So how did you manage for the toilet?
Well, when they were stopping there for us to whittle and that sort of thing. And have a puff and have something to eat. Where we got the food to eat, I don't know, but we were... I don't know how many were in this cattle truck, but there wasn't room for us all to lay down. We were squatting, sitting down. Till we eventually, on going up, we saw very, very often that members of the Chinese Labour Corps, you know, they'd be working perhaps in ammunition dumps and that sort of thing. We'd see some of them.
What about... It was your first time in France. Had that made any impact on you? Either when you first arrived in Rouen or during this journey through France? You'd never been abroad before, I don't think.
No, I hadn't been abroad before.
What was your impression of France?
I don't know. We were a crowd together. Had I been an individual stepping on into France, it would have made some sort of impression on me. But with a crowd... You were with your own group, you see.
So you were inward looking.
Yes, so I remember when we were down in the camp, the kiddies on the perimeter shouting out, "Bully beef biscuit, bully beef biscuit, Tommy, bully beef biscuit," and going up in the cattle trucks if we stopped anywhere, you see, the people would be, "Biscuit, bully beef, biscuit, bully beef," you know. That's what the shout would be rather than anything else, you see.
That's all you really noticed.
That's all I...
Now, where were you going to on this train?
Well, we didn't know where we were going. And that's truthful. We didn't know where we were going. We were going somewhere to join something or other. But we landed up in a little place called Proven. A little village of Proven. And there, we... got eventually in a field, and there were tents there. That's where our first landmark when we got to our unit.
So the battalion were there?
The battalion were there, and I was allocated to number 9 Platoon C Company again.
And that was the 15th Battalion
15th
of the Welsh
15th Battalion of the Welsh Regiment, the 114 Brigade. The 38th Welsh Division, and I met a remarkable character there who I remembered as a boy.
Who was that?
Well, we lived in Glenaravon. We lived one side of the road, and on the other side was Glenaravon Mansion. We lived in a big house, one side of the road, and a bigger house than the other side of the road, where the Honourable Odo Vivian lived. He eventually
became... What was his name, sorry?
Odo Vivian.
Part of the Vivian family.
Yes, he eventually became Lord Swansea. And he was an officer in the Glamorgan Yeomanry. That is, the landed gentry around, they had this yeomanry. And one of his friends was Major Ernest Helm, H-E-L-M-E. Who was quite a dandy. He was very well dressed in his breeches, high boots, and he always had a cravat and a cane stick. And I met him, he was inspecting the camp. And he looked at me, he said, "I know you." I said, "Yes, sir, no doubt you do. We live opposite the Honourable Odo Vivian, and he lived some miles down in Gower."
Helm.
And he, Helm, Ernest Helm. And he was in the Glamorgan Yeomanry as well. And that was Major Ernest Helm. He was always with his stick, high leg boots, polished beautiful, his cravat. You've seen Johnny Walker on the bottles. Now he was dressed comparatively like Johnny Walker. Only in his khaki, with his stick, his cravat, his high boots, his hat, and that was Major Ernest Helm.
Now, what state was the battalion in when you joined them? I mean, had it been built up after the... It was
nearly a year later. It had been partly built up then. And we realised after that we were part of the reinforcements to rebuild the division battalion after the Mametz would do. We learned
after. Was it still mainly Welsh? Or had they started to bring...
No, there were other fellows in the battalion. I found out one after, there was one Italian there who came back to the battalion later on. He'd been wounded in Mametz. But he was one of the ice cream boys who had a shop somewhere up in the Rhondda Valley. See?
So what proportion would be Welsh?
Most of them Welsh.
Still?
75% of them Welsh.
And the other 25% would be...
Yes. On the border, perhaps, you see? Border.
But
I tell you who was with the 13th Battalion later on, I found it, was Randolph Sutton. The singer used to sing on Mother Carey's doorstep. But Randolph was from Bristol. Later on, I sang with Randolph later on.